Well, I want to introduce you to something that is so phenomenal, so tremendous, and I hope you will agree with me how fantastic this is. And that is the Word of God. The living Word of God. God's Word is so tremendous, so fantastic. It's lived the test of time, and it goes on and on and on. And there's two great things about this wonderful, powerful Word of God. One is that it is a living Word. If you believe what you read in here, you will manifest. You will see the power of God in your life. You will get the results of what God says in His Word. That's why it is a living Word. God's Word is living. It's alive. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. We've got a verse on this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth how much? Not much. Nada? Yes. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are what? Life. It's God's Word. God's Word is Spirit, and it's life. It's a living Word of God. Another great reason why this is the greatest book in the whole world, look who wrote it. The author is God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He wrote this wonderful Word of God. And we can trust in this wonderful Word that He says. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Scripture says, all Scripture is by inspiration of God. Now the Greek word for inspiration of God is theopneustos. Theo being God, neustos is breathe. God breathed. This is the God-breathed Word. God has breathed. How would you say it? He put breath into the Word of God. It is alive, all right? It's a living Word of God. And God is so wonderful, so loving, so powerful. So if we can really tap into this wonderful Word of God, we're going to see wonderful, great things in our life. Amen? Yes, yes. Now, it's interesting to note here that God is not a man, right? That He should lie. God is Spirit. It says that in John 4:24. And so God doesn't have human characteristics. But the Scriptures, as they are translated in the Greek here, the God-breathed Word, it's a figure of speech. Now, figures of speech are used in a most wonderful way, and I don't think too many people think about this when they go to the Word of God. Where is the emphasis and the things that are most important when you read God's Word? Well, what God does, He uses figures of speech to emphasize. We do this all the time, right? You know, if I say the ground is dry, okay, it's dry. But if I say the ground is thirsty, now literally that can't be, but it's a figure of speech, right? And you can see the cracks in the ground. It is thirsty. It's, give me some water. So these figures of speech are a great key in helping you understand what is important in the Word of God. A wonderful man of God shared the greatness of figures of speech, Reverend Ken Petty, in a work that he did. And I want to read this to you so you can see the greatness of figures of speech. God uses figures of speech in His Word by divine design to add emphasis to a particular thing. They are thus God's markings in His Word of what He wants to emphasize. Oftentimes, as we study a book, we may underline a point or mark it with a highlighter to bring our attention to it. God does the same thing in His Word by employing figures of speech. He also implores us, doesn't He? The figure is never used to weaken the meaning of what is stated, but to give it a greater emphasis. Men use figures of speech all the time, but too often they are used carelessly or haphazardly. God employs them deliberately and precisely. There are over 200 different kinds of figures of speech used in the Bible, with 30 or 40 variations under one figure. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it could have said that all Scripture originated from God, but instead communicates the truth more powerfully. It is God-breathed. This figure of speech is called condensation in the English. So that's a little bit about figures of speech. It's a great key for you to understand the greatness of God's Word, to help you walk in the power that God has made available to us through a knowledge of His Word. Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, God's Word is alive. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is what? Quick, alive, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, that's the greatness of God's Word here. So, we need to put some time into this thing. We really need to learn what are the keys whereby I can understand the Scriptures and walk in the great power and love that is communicated there. So, it is the living Word. In other words, you can use God's Word and employ it or apply it to your life, and you will see results. Let me tell you a story of an event that occurred a number of years ago. I was traveling from Ohio to North Carolina, and I went through Washington, D.C., stayed the night. The next morning, I got up, got on 95. Now, right, Route 95 is what 5 is to us on the West Coast, right? 5 goes north and south from Tijuana up to Seattle. 95 does the same thing on the East Coast. So I'm on 95 going down the highway, and all of a sudden, everybody stopped. And everybody's stopping behind me. And I look out, I get out of my car because I see people getting out of their car. Looking way down the road there, and there's just miles and miles of cars stacked up on the highway. Now, what had happened several days before, well, let me say a week before, a hurricane went through, and it just flooded that whole area. And that whole area of Virginia there is very low-lying. And what happened is one of the bridges over 95 collapsed, and nobody could go south on this highway. Well, I was a little anxious to get home. I needed to get back down to North Carolina, and I thought of a verse, and it's Psalm 119, what is it here? 119:105. Psalm 119:105. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And I just asked God, help me get around this predicament. I got to get home. Well, I was inspired to turn around. There was a dirt medium, so I was able to pull out, go across this medium, start heading back north to the next exit, got off, and I started going on all these side roads. Now, people said, you know, if it's a problem here, you're going to have flooded roads all over the state. Well, I just listened to God. He was my light to my feet and my tires as I drove. And I would go this road, and God said, no, go here. Oh, well, we're over here. And within an hour, I had maneuvered around. I was on the other side of this bridge collapsing. I was home free. It's a living Word. God works with us. God uses His love and power in us as we believe it and step out on His wonderful, matchless Word. Pretty neat. You see, this truly is a living Word. Look at Psalms 119:50. Here we go. Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 1:23. All right, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The Word of God. We talked about being born again, right? Well, you get born again of incorruptible seed. Much better than the first seed that got us here. First seed's not bad. Not bad at all. We are who we are because of it. But to get born again of incorruptible seed, whoo, pretty neat. Now, how did that happen? We know how the first birth came. How did the second one come, which is much, much better? Well, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth, how long? Forever, right? Hey, this is a fantastic Word of God, right? That somebody could get born again by reading the Word, believing it, and they have eternal life. From death unto eternal life, with the hope of Christ's return at any time. Fantastic. That's what's so wonderful about this great Word of God. And it behooves us to learn more and more of this Word of God, to learn the keys on how the Word works. Now, we're going to be emphasizing in our fellowships in the upcoming weeks and maybe a couple months, some of these great keys that are in the Scriptures whereby we can unlock our understanding so that we can walk in the great love and power that is in this Word. So you can be looking forward to that for sure. Another verse, let's take a look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. So the Word is as much God as God is God. So it, again, is so fantastic to have this wonderful Word of God that we can trust and believe in. Philippians 2:16. We've got that verse here for you. Holding forth the Word of life. Here it is again, the Word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This is the living Word that we bank on, that we trust on, that we know makes all the difference in our life and in the lives of others. That's what we talk about, holding forth the words of life. Bert did that in the woman's bathroom. It works everywhere and anywhere. Near there. Okay, we don't want to get Bert in trouble here. We won't get Bert in trouble. Near there. I stand corrected. Our business is life. Isn't that a great business to be in? Life eternal. Life eternal. Fantastic. No greater job that you'll ever do in your life than to help somebody get born again of God's Spirit. I just don't see anything greater you could do for somebody to help them get saved, born again. Yeah. But it's amazing how much people try to belittle this Word of God. They put it down. Oh, it's not God's Word. It's just a word of many men that wrote it. Well, that's not the testifying of what this Word says of itself. It says it's the God-breathed Word. There's many other scriptures we can look at. We're not going to do that now. But God takes care of His Word. He's not going to let it get ripped up and thrown away and have no meaning. And in light of that, I want to share a record with you in Jeremiah. So if you go to your Bible here, we won't have the scriptures on the monitor until we get to the end. And I'll let you know when that will come up. But we're going to start in Jeremiah 32. All right, I want to share a story out of Jeremiah on how alive God's Word is. So 32:26, we're going to start there. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. At this time, what we're reading here, The children of Israel were way out in left field. They were way off the word. They weren't looking to God at all. And so they got captivated. These armies came in. The Babylonians came in. The Chaldeans came in. And they took them into captivity. And that's what he's talking about. That God said, this is what's happening. This is what's going to happen. And so let's jump over to chapter 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying. Now this is interesting to me. And I think this is another key for us to understand and appreciate. How did the Word of God come? How did it get into this form here? Well, what's happening with Jeremiah? God is talking to him and telling him his word, right? And where was Jeremiah? He wasn't on the beach here in San Diego having a Mai Tai. Not at all. He was in prison. And yet God spoke to him. It blows my mind. Now, we talk about the church epistles, right? We talk about Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all those. Some people call those prison writings because Paul was in prison for some of those writings. But anyway, let's get back to the story here. Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. Now, there was a time where the children of Israel, the tribes, split up. And Judah, and actually Benjamin was part of Judah, were in the south, and all these other tribes were in the north, and they were called Israel, okay? Judah, Israel. Well, both of those groups were taken into captivity, but God was telling Jeremiah that he's going to bring them back as it was before, at the first. What a great prophecy to have something that's going to happen in the future, good, that they can look forward to. I mean, at this point, they're just surrounded by all their enemies. They're going to be taken away out of their land. No hope. What do they have to look forward to? Not much. But now the word of the Lord came saying, hey, I'm going to take care of this. And it's going to be as it was before. And verse 8 says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. So God's going to take care of this situation. And we can look, you know, they could look forward to that through the word that he gave. Now let's jump over to 36. 36, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, now here's another. Take thee a roll of a book, write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, those groups, right? Two groups. And against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. So this is kind of how we get the word of God. God speaks to men of God, and they have it written down. There's a verse, I think it's in Timothy, where how did we get the word of God? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, by God. And so Jeremiah was being moved. God was talking to him. And he's going to write this down on a scroll. God tells him, take a roll of the book. That's a scroll in those days. And he's going to write this down. Where are we at? Verse 3, I think. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And again, this is a scroll. Jeremiah, I guess, didn't have good handwriting. So he got this scribe, Baruch, to write it down. Okay? So he's writing this on the scroll. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written with my mouth, from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Now let's go to verse 15. Okay? Verse 36, chapter 36, verse 15. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. So here he is, he's doing what he was told to do, Baruch the scribe, reading it to them. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and the other, and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto them with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. You know, again, the scroll. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you are. The king's going to be very upset to see this. And we're going to see this here. Verse 20. Verse 20, 36, we're still there. And they went in to the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishamah, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. There's the word of God in the roll. And he took it out of Elishamah, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes that which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in his winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And there it is. All done. King's happy now. No word now because it's all burned up. Not going to happen to me because it's all burned up. But do you think that stopped the word of God? Not to be. Let's go to verse 32. And this we do have up here on the screen. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. So you can't get rid of the living word of God, can you? You can cut it up, you can say all kinds of things, but the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Let's close here in 1 Peter 1:23. We've read this verse, but I want to read a couple of other verses as well. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, how long? Forever, for all flesh is as grass. Now here's a perspective that God's going to share with us. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. What happens? The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But, Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Forever. This is a forever word of God. You can bank on this because it's going to be around forever. It's not going to go away. Nobody's going to burn this, and we won't have it. God will make sure we'll have his word. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So I trust I could share with you this morning this wonderful living word, that you could see it a little bit bigger, how vital it is, how important it is, and that we could really grab on to this beautiful word of God that's so far above anything else, any other knowledge, any other book, and really grab on to the truth that God has put in here so that we can live a more than abundant life. Amen? Okay, Father, thank you for the richness of your word and how you've protected it through the years, that we can have it today and have great understanding of your word, that you do want us to understand your word, that we can know who we are in Christ, that we can walk with great love and power in this time of ours. So I thank you for continuing to work with us and help us. And we look forward to the fellowship we have with you and with one another in this beautiful family of God. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.